Hi, everybody. This is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. Today, I want to talk about famine in America and what does the Bible predict? What did Jesus himself say about it? Well, let's hear from Dr. Michael Greger and see what he has to say about this in his video, which is about an hour long. I'm not going to play the whole hour. I'm just going to play a few seconds of it. But anyway, it's called Flu Factories. Let's take a listen.
According to the Director General of the World Health Organization, the three greatest threats facing humanity are the global food crisis, climate change, and pandemic influenza. The current flu pandemic has killed hundreds and infected hundreds of thousands, but in a world in which millions of people continue to die of diseases like AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, why is there so much concern about this so-called swine flu? Because apparently, the last time a nearly entirely new flu virus jumped species and caused a pandemic, it went on to become the deadliest plague in human history, the influenza pandemic of 1918. Most flu strains tend to spare young, healthy adults, but the 1918 virus killed people in the prime of life. More than a quarter of all Americans fell ill.
I'm going to stop right there, and let's just think about this for a second. A quarter of Americans fell ill, and many of them died. And will masks help? Will social distancing help? Yesterday, I saw a guy on YouTube, a doctor, or a former doctor, I should say, tell everybody that, look, everybody on earth, everybody in America is going to get sick from time to time and get a virus from time to time. What do you think about this? Well, I think it's inevitable that everybody has exposure to this. A friend of mine named John is also in hospital right now with COVID-19. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I think most people get over it. Most people get over COVID-19 without harm. In other words, too severe a harm. It's also been reported that people that do get it and survive will have some effect by this because it turns into pneumonia, and they die of pneumonia. They don't die of the COVID, that is the body's reaction or overreaction to said virus. What can we do to protect ourselves if everybody on the planet is going to get a part of this disease, or at least touched by it or affected by it? Well, not everybody even comes up with symptoms as a result of getting COVID-19. So you might not get it at all. You might not know you got it. You might not know that you were exposed to it. And you never will. Some people never get it at all, never get a symptom out of it. I suggest every one of my listeners goes to YouTube and watches that video, Flu Factories, Dr. Michael Greger at nutritionfacts.org. Now, what's the problem with meat and with food? The whole food supply chain is breaking down. I'm going to read to you some statistics here about what's going on in America. And I saw a video put out and produced by theiceagefarmer.com. He's talking about what's happening in America. He said that Premier Doug Ford of Ontario, he's a member of the Ontario Emergency Management Team, decided to stop a farm in Essex County. Why? Well, COVID-19, once one of the members of their work staff got it, they all quit. Everybody left the farm, and they can't run it without help. It takes a lot of people sometimes to run a farm, to plant, to harvest, to cultivate, to fertilize, and to take to market. That supply chain, folks, is breaking down. Marjorie Wildcraft of GrowNetwork.com watches farmers that are going out of business. She watches organic farms and sees what's happening there as well. Farmers are quitting. Workers leave. They don't come back. Migrant workers, illegals, if you will, run our food supply chain. Without those illegals, and by the way, they travel from state to state where there is no work, they go to where there is work. And that's what calls them migrant labor. They travel and go where the work is going. One family farm in Montana, Sheridan, Montana, just got through burying 700 tons of potatoes. 6 million potatoes. Why? Well, because they couldn't get harvesters to take them, put them in boxes after cleaning them, and ship them away. They were just going to rot. And there's nothing they can do about it. If they go to the bank and say, we need more money so we can pay our farm workers, big deal. The farm workers are gone. They're not there. They moved on. Or they moved back to Mexico, where they came from. This is not good, folks. This is not good at all. Many farmers are bankrupt. Why? Well, because they can't get their product to market, so how are they going to get paid? And what's that going to do to us next year? Those are seed potatoes we're talking about. Those were the crop that's going to be, or was going to be, planted so that there would be a crop for you and I next year. I hate to think what next year is going to look like at this time here in July. We saw dairy all over the place, dairy workers, dairy farmers dumping their milk because they couldn't get it to market in time before it spoiled. Banks are crushing the old-time ways, the old-time farmers. There's no credit available for them anymore. Why? Because they want to support the new green type of farming, that is roach milk, cricket protein, making things out of those animals. You think that's healthy? You think that's something you'd like to eat? Not me. No, I like the smell of meat cooking. I don't eat it anymore because I don't believe it's going to do me any good. It's not going to be healthy for me at this stage of my life. The coronavirus, when they test everyone, they have found that 50% of the people in America test positive. And then they also count those who have been exposed to those people that do wind up in the hospital with it. They count every single case because they were exposed. So how does that prove that that test is working? And only 1 out of 1,000 people die once they do get it, once they do test positive. 1 out of 1,000, that's pretty good odds. The COVID-19 is ravaging our farm workers. You know, these days we can riot in the streets, but stay home for everything else except voting. That's terrible. Aldi's. Have you heard of Aldi's? Well, most people have. The meat, dairy, and egg production is down by 80%, according to them. They put out a report about industrial farming, and that's the result. They're asking us to abstain from all animal products. I mean, people love their meat. People in America love their meat. Let's turn to Revelation 18 for a second. It's pretty close to the end of the book, the end of the Bible, since it only has 22 chapters. But here it talks about the fall of Babylon. Now, why do you think that the fall of Babylon would be put into a book of Revelation if Babylon was way back there by, you know, around the time of Daniel when he wrote? Well, because it came back to life, maybe? Yeah. Here's what it says, chapter 18, Revelation. After all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen. She has become the home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her. Because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants all over the world have grown rich. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. So, obviously, a punishment is coming for her. For her sins have piled as high as heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Do to her as she has done to others. Double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. She glorified herself and lived in luxury, so match it now with torment and sorrow. She boasted in her heart, I am queen on my throne, and I am no helpless widow. I have no reason to mourn. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day. Death and mourning and famine. Death and mourning and famine. That's what's happening here in America right now. Not that we are Babylon, we're living like we are Babylon. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord who judges her is mighty. The kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn over her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. They will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will cry out, how terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. In a single moment, God's judgment came on you. That's just how quickly things can happen. And we saw that. We saw that with the COVID thing. Things were going pretty good right up until the day the lockdown happened because of COVID-19. Now, because of COVID-19, we will face famine in America. It's already here. That just that quickly. There are limits. When you go to Aldi's, for example, there are limits to canned beans that you can get. Four. Limit four. First it was limit 10, then 8, then 4. What's it going to be next week? 2? I don't know. In a single moment, God's judgment came on Babylon. The merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her, for there is no one left to buy their goods. Now, there's no goods for anyone to buy. So anyway, in verse 12, she brought great quantities of gold and silver and jewels and pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet clothing, things made of fragrant thyan wood, ivory goods, objects made of expensive wood, bronze, iron, and marble. She also bought cinnamon, spices, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and people, that is, human slaves. Verse 14, "The fancy things you loved are gone," they cry. "All your luxuries and splendor are gone forever, never to be yours again." Now that's pretty dire, and that's pretty scary. What if they don't come back? What if the food chain never gets replaced in America? Never gets rebuilt? It's like getting caught between a rock and a hard place. And while that's painful, it's okay as long as you have food you can eat. What if you're caught and you don't have any food to eat? What do you tell your children? "Daddy, when can we eat?" "I don't know, son. We don't have any food and we don't have any way to get it." That would be a pretty tough situation to face. What am I trying to say? Am I trying to scare people? No, I'm trying to prepare them. I'm trying to say, please, grow something today. Now, I know my children live in Tampa, Florida, all three of them. Can they grow their own food? No, their lots are way too small, and if they live in the city limits, which all three of them do, there's no way they're going to allow that. They're not going to be allowed to have chickens running in the yard. They're not going to have tomatoes growing on their front or by their front step. One of my children and his wife and child live in an apartment on the second floor. How are they going to grow anything? Well, maybe on the balcony? I don't know. It's not likely they're going to be able to raise their own food. I live in a small town on a small lot. I say it's small. It's 80 by 150. And I can't grow my own food. Wheat doesn't grow well here in Florida. And I don't grow my own wheat, but I eat it every single day. Why? Well, because it's healthy. And those that say it's not healthy have not tried to live on it. Try living on it. Well, I'm thankful for organic farmers that grow food. I depend on them for my food. I can't grow peas. Now, I could. I can grow a few peas. But let me tell you, if I eat a pound of vegetables a day, am I able to grow a pound of vegetables? That is corn and carrots and potatoes and rice and wheat and green beans, stuff like that. And what about my root crops, sweet potatoes and regular potatoes and beets, and turnips, rutabagas? I love all of those things. What about broccoli? That's not that easy to grow, neither is cauliflower. But I try to eat them every single week. I can't grow all my own food. Now, I have little tub gardens that I have all over the north side and east side and south side and west side of my house. I'm trying to grow as much as possible. And I grow flowers intermingled in there to make the place look beautiful. And it does. Right now, the rain has made it look absolutely stunning and very beautiful. And I'm very thankful to God for providing that. But let's read on. And I would encourage you highly to grow something. Grow it in a pot if you have to. Grow something that you can eat. I have a couple of plants of tree spinach. I call it tree spinach. It's a green plant that's got edible leaves, and it's delicious. And I put it in my breakfast cereal. I cut it up in little pieces and stir it in with my wheat and corn mix that I make my own cereal out of. And it's delicious, and it's healthy. I also put in some onions and garlic. And it makes a dandy breakfast, really filling, and it lasts a long time, and it's healthy. And I feel good when I eat it. Moving on to verse 15, the merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. When they can't sell their goods, what happens? They go bankrupt, and they're not there next year. Farmers are quitting left and right. And who's going to take up the gauntlet next year? Who's going to provide their food, our food, my food, next year? Will it be me? Oh, boy. Well, probably not. I'm hoping and praying that things continue for a little while longer. We'll see what Jesus says in just a moment. But actually, the whole book of Revelation is the words of Jesus. This is not the revelation of John the Revelator. No. This is the revelation of none other than Jesus Christ. He's our maker, our creator, our boss, and our savior. But to read on here, how terrible. They will weep and cry out, how terrible. How terrible for that great city. She was clothed in the finest purple and scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of that city is gone. Wow. It shows how quickly things can happen. And all the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, where is there another city like this great city? And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief. Now, who does that? The people of the Middle East. Gives you an indication of where we're talking about in this particular case. But it could apply to us as well. If we don't turn from our wicked ways as they didn't turn from theirs. And they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it is all gone. Rejoice over her fate, O heaven, and people of God, and apostles and prophets. For at last God has judged her for your sakes. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone and threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city of Babylon has been thrown down with violence and will never be found again. The sound of harps and singers, flutes and trumpets will never be heard in you again. No craftsman, no tradesman will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. For your merchants were the greatest men on the world, and you deceived the nations by your sorceries. In your streets they flowed with the blood of prophets and of God's holy people, and the blood of the people slaughtered all over the world. And that's the end of chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. But still, there is hope. Jesus is in control. He knows what's going on in your life and in mine. In Matthew 24, here's what Jesus says about famine. Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, though. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." Coronavirus is going all over the world, folks, and eventually each and every one on earth will be exposed to some degree. I was saying that I was working in an office, and every single week this one gentleman, I say gentleman, came to work sick. And he spread his viruses around, saying, "It's only my allergies." No, these are not allergies. These are viruses, and some of them are so potent that the second you get, or I got around this gentleman, I got his virus, and it took me down for a week. I mean 7 working days. That's a powerful virus. So I avoided him like I would the plague. And that's what we have, folks. We have a plague. It is time to be aware of this and avoid contact with this virus. It is a very serious one, although not quite as potent as ordinary flu. Well, this is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. We need to pay attention to this virus and try to avoid it for as long as possible. And we can minimize our exposure by wearing our masks and avoiding going out as much as possible. But what if it gets worse? What if there's another virus waiting in the wings? We're in real trouble. We can pray, "Thy kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven," because we see what's happening here in the planet. But grow your own food, folks. Please, I beg you, grow your own food. We're already about 3 years late in getting started. So that's what I would very much like to see each and every one of you do. Grow something you can eat. It takes 90 days from seed to plate. That's 3 months. Can you fast that long? How long can you tread water? Now, we all need to grow something to try to help out a little bit. So anyway, I'll get off my rant. I just want to thank you for tuning in today to Bible Prophecy Radio. Please stay well, stay healthy, and stay happy and wise. And until next time, I'm Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. Thanks for tuning in today.